No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. I'm David Brown, and we are so glad you're spending a bit of your Wednesday with us. Texans often like to talk about how their home state is the center of the universe, and as we all know, that is 100% true. Pretty much. But here's the deal. We take the good with the bad, and what you're about to hear is not just bad, it's grim. The biggest city in Texas has become an epicenter for human trafficking. According to a 2015 study in the Akron Law Review, one of every four trafficked people in the U.S. are in Texas. A separate report by the University of Texas puts the actual number at more than 300,000 people in Texas alone, including almost 80,000 minors working in the sex trade. Case in point, for 8 years in southwest Houston, police say there was a brothel operating out of a shabby apartment complex just a mile from the posh Galleria. Many locals knew about it, but didn't talk about it, fearful of retribution from the gang-affiliated family police say was running it. According to the charges, undocumented women and girls, some as young as 14, were beaten, drugged, and otherwise lured into the brothel with promises of restaurant work. But as Gabriel Banks reports in the Houston Chronicle, this bust targeting a gang known as the Southwest Cholos only hints at how much of a problem human sex trafficking has become there. Gabrielle, thanks for joining us on The Standard.
Thanks very much.
This is a remarkable reporting here. And you report, and this was a quote that just struck me, there are more brothels in Houston than there are Starbucks?
Yeah, it's kind of astonishing. There are websites like Yelp, underground websites, where you can look at reviews. It doesn't take much digging to see for yourself that there are more brothels than Starbucks because you can see reviews of them online. And we didn't want to advertise all those websites, but they're out there.
What's driving this? I mean, I know police have for many years gone after the pimps and the Johns because we really are talking about human sex trafficking after all, right?
Yeah, I think it's just people are greedy and they want money and they find ways to make money. This was a multi-generational family and multi-family operation run out of a really, you know, lackluster apartment building on the periphery of Houston near the Galleria, but in a working class neighborhood. And I think, you know, it was just a resource. It was a way of making money and they figured out a way to do it. We went to the apartment building. They really scared the neighbors into not telling the police. There's an FBI agent that we spoke to who's the head of the operation in the Houston area who noted that this is, you know, a renewable resource that can go on and on and on. It's not like drugs and you sell them once and they're gone. If you exploit a woman or a man to be a sex slave, you can continue to keep doing it in one city, another city, and anywhere you want as long as they're under your, if you're compelling them to do it.
But as I understand, Houston is a particularly fertile ground for this, right?
Well, it's a big city, and I think all big cities are. We have also proximity to the border and cheap, renewable, undocumented labor, people that are desperate for jobs and in many cases vulnerable and don't have family connections once they cross the border and have people they can turn to for help, which is so a lot of the testimony in the court case. Was about how desperate these young women were and didn't really have connections in the United States.
Well, could you explain a little bit about the mechanics of how these women are getting caught up in situations like this?
In many cases, these young women were romanced by the pimps or enforcers of the gang and drugged and tattooed with the pimps' names and forced to continue to work there. And there were several women who escaped with the help of Johns in many cases. One woman got across the border two or three times. She finally got away the third time, but the gang traced her back to her family's home and got her back across the border and back to the brothel again.
How well are law enforcement officials able to get their hands around the size and scope of this situation?
Since 2004, the federal government has really taken a different tack in going after sex trafficking. And you have a unified human trafficking alliance. It's called the Human Trafficking Rescue Alliance, where the FBI, the DOJ, ICE, Homeland Security, along with local law enforcement and victims advocates, are going after sex trafficking in a major way and getting much steeper sentences. So they're no longer going after the Johns and the pimps or arresting people for prostitution in these federal operations. I don't know how far they are in the fight of taking this down. It's the oldest profession, and I don't know how long it's going to take to really see a change, but I know they're taking it incredibly seriously. We had a 35-year sentence for a street pimp recently. There was a 40-year sentence for a sex trafficker known as El Gallo, and he was tattooing roosters, gallos, on his victims. And then there was a life sentence for a woman who's nicknamed Tencha, who was running a cantina brothel just south of Houston. So there are very, very steep penalties now, and they're going after big fish.
Gabrielle Banks is a federal courts reporter for the Houston Chronicle. We'll have a link to her latest piece at texasstandard.org. Gabrielle, thanks so much for speaking with us on The Standard.
Thank you very much.